Bibles together to the book of James tonight, James chapter 1. We did the first 8 verses of chapter 1 Wednesday night, and got a little further in it. Like I said, I may stay in it on the evening services for a little bit. Wonderful book in the Bible, and we were talking about our trials. We need joy in the trials. We need prayer. We need wisdom. We need faith. That's what we preached about in the first 8 verses. But we're going to go a little further tonight. We're going to look at verses 9 through 12 here. And I want to preach to you on trying times are temporary. Aren't you glad of that? This world is not my home. Until then, as the choir sang tonight, we'll smile on our way, even though we're going through some troubles and trials, because we know we have the hope of heaven. Amen. As has already been mentioned tonight. James 1, let's read verses 9 through 12. Here the Bible says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So you got a picture here of earthly life, and you got a picture of heavenly life. That's where we're headed, amen? So it reminds us that our trying times are temporary, amen? Let's pray. Father God, direct us tonight. Give us your power. Speak to us, I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Life is but a vapor. James also said that. Has life been a vapor for you? Did you get to where you're at faster than you thought you would? Life is but a vapor, the Bible says. And he says here, life is about like the grass and the flowers, when the sun comes up and the heat hits it, and it withers away. Now, this is July. Y'all seen some of this lately? The grass is growing. I know it keeps raining, but you understand. The Bible says the sun comes up, it gets hot. Yeah, y'all believe it gets hot out there? The Bible said so, amen. Do I have to convince y'all? The Bible said it, amen, but you've experienced it as well. But the beauty of the grass and the flowers and the gardens and all of this stuff can fade away. Why? It's temporary. Of course, he's talking about even more than that. That's just an illustration there. But trying times are also temporary. Now, James is talking here. Just look back to verse 2 real quick. Verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." And we talked about that last week. But he is talking about trials and troubles and how to have joy in your trials and troubles. He is preaching to a persecuted group of Christian people, and they're going through persecutions. They're going through trials for the faith. And he's trying to encourage them, like Paul often did, to smile in spite of it, right? To rejoice in the truths and the hope that you have in the Lord in spite of the trials that you go through. But here he connects it to status in life. He talked here about the man of low estate, and he talked about the rich man, the man of wealth. So the Bible often addresses that because that is where we live. We talk about the poor. We talk about the middle class. We talk about the upper class. We talk about those levels of status, if you will, and the Bible addresses all of that as well. So he's talking to the Christian, though, no matter where he is in this world. Now, speaking of temporary, he says the man that is on the low on the totem pole, that can even be temporary. Amen. Well, thank God things can improve. But then he talks about the rich man, that can be temporary, and oh my goodness, what is he supposed to do? Because he doesn't want it to be temporary, his riches and his wealth, right? But he says that could even be temporary. So this life as a whole, and perhaps even the status. Now, if somebody is low level, they want to go to higher ground financially. They want to go to higher ground in society, right? Everybody's trying to move up, I guess you could say, in a sense. And The one that is up there, you know, he doesn't want to end up in low estate, but sometimes that happens. So he's talking about Christian people in any area, and we're just reminded of the temporary status of life. Poverty or riches, either one can change. Now, and we see it in the Bible. Job had it all, right? He lost it all too, didn't he? And he's a good example of what somebody ought to do if they had it all and lost it all. Just keep walking with the Lord. Amen? That's what Job had to do. And we've seen it in America. We've seen it in our history. We've seen the Great Depression. And some of you perhaps have seen that. But you know what I mean? Throughout our history, there's been ups and downs in the economy and all of that, right? And we've seen people, we've heard the horror stories of people that have lost it all and how bad that goes. You hear about there was some recent news of a guy who won big in the lottery, but it helped the police find him because he had a lot of outstanding warrants and he went to prison for a long time right after he won all the lottery, you know? So, boy, things can turn on a dime, right? Things can turn quickly. So you think you got it all and then he ended up where... not in his new house, but in the penitentiary, right? So anyway, that's how it goes sometimes. Matter of fact, that happens to a lot of people that get rich quick. Because usually if you get rich quick, you did something illegal anyway, right? So it might land you there anyhow. So that happens. But let's look here at what James is, the admonitions that James is giving to us and the things that he is talking about here as we are reminded that trying times are temporary. I want to give you just a simple statement here. Point number one is this. It's okay to be average. It's okay to be average. And what I mean by that is verse 9, he says, let the brother, so he's talking to Christians, of low degree. The brother doesn't have a whole lot. The Christian that doesn't have a whole lot going for him. In fact, he was talking to people that... were persecuted for their newfound faith. Some of the rich people were getting boycotted at their businesses, so they were suffering. But a lot of these were just average, everyday people. They were just hardworking folks. They were just trying to get week to week, paycheck to paycheck, make ends meet, right? They were just living day to day, right? But you know that's okay because the truth of the matter is that's the majority of the world. And the Bible teaches us this day. Give us this day our daily bread, right? So that's where most folks live, or just low degree. All it means is that they're not the rich ones. They're just working. They're the blue-collar people. And that makes up the majority of society. I'm not mad at rich folks. They give the rest of us some work to do. Amen, right? So I'm all right with rich people. They provide jobs. Amen. Isn't that the right way to look at that? You know, well, I don't like, you know, people like, you know, well, I want to be a socialist. I don't like capitalism. And those people ought not be so rich. Well, you know what? They're smarter than me and give me a job. Amen, right? I need to make it next week too, right? But it's okay to understand that there are those statuses in life. Everybody cannot have fortune. It's just not going to be that way in society. We understand it's not going to happen. And socialism or whatever other ideas people have, it just doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. And that's not the way life's going to be. It's okay to be the brother of low degree. It's okay to be on the bottom of the totem pole in society. It's okay just to go to work and work hard. Amen, right? And I'm looking at people that's life. You know, you're like me when you were a kid. I grew up in a neighborhood, so I could push the lawnmower through the neighborhood and cut yards. You know, I had that advantage. I could do that. I didn't need a trailer and a big mower. I just needed to push it down the road, and your grass needs cutting. Can I do it? You know, give me, I don't know what it was back then, $5? I don't know. But anyway, whatever it was pretty good. Amen? You know, but doesn't it seem like, though, once you start working, it's like you can't ever stop? It becomes your life. Well, I graduated. What do I do? Probably get a job, right? Can I get a job with the degree I've got? Maybe, I don't know. But you just got to get a job, right? You have to go to work. Well, what's life all about? It's about having an occupation. It's about occupying yourself. Amen? It's about paying your bills or being homeless. Amen? For most folks, that is life. And that's okay because God, from the very beginning, gave Adam something to do. He gave him work to do. So James here is talking about that group of people that really do make up the majority of life, who just go to work, even though it seems like it never stops, perhaps, for a lot of people. And life can be hard. But that's life. But that's life. That's just the way it is. Now, we want to, you know, we want to get a big payday. We want to, you know, you ever pray, Lord, can I have a big payday? And I don't want any accidents. I don't want any tragedies. I don't want anybody to die. Just some kind of way, Lord, just drop it on me, right? It usually doesn't happen like that. Amen. Usually doesn't happen that way. You know, sometimes you ask for things and then you don't like what you got either. Now, what does he mean, though, by this brother of low estate rejoicing in that he is exalted? It says he is exalted. Now, the truth of the matter is, he's still got verse 2 in his mind here that we ought to rejoice in all of our troubles and trials. So that's still there, okay? That's still in the context. He's talking about rejoicing in spite of troubles and trials that you have in life, right? But he says here that he is exalted. Now obviously, a person that doesn't have it all, if anything good happens in life, you're going to rejoice about that, right? Anytime anything good happens, you'll rejoice in those things. Amen? So if you get some good fortune, be glad for it. But I don't think that's really what he's talking about here. I think he is speaking on the spiritual level here. And he says, let this brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. He is, not he might be exalted, not he's hoping to be exalted. He is exalted. It may not be with a position, it may not be in his salary, but it is spiritually. He is already exalted because he's got the Lord in his life. He is rich in Christ, and he needs to rejoice in that truth, right? He needs to learn how to cope. He needs to learn how to live day by day, and he needs to learn spiritually. He is a believer with great promises. He is exalted already. You know, they might have been oppressed. They might have been persecuted. They might have been poor. But they had the Lord in their life. And that truth makes all the difference in the world. If we just trust the mighty dollar, no, we got to learn to trust Almighty God and walk with the Lord there. Amen? Jesus said this in Luke 12:21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Well, he's kind of, how is he? He's like the grass and the flower. Fades away. That's what James is saying. But notice what Jesus said. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's the difference. The Lord didn't say, I pity you, you're not rich. No. He said, I pity those who are not rich toward God. If you read the book of Ephesians, folks, you're seated in the heavenlies right now. You are rich in Christ. You've got the inheritance of the Lord. You're going to live in a mansion. You're going to have streets of gold. There's a street of gold up there in heaven. And all of those things. And we're going to see all of that stuff. And just they you say, man, they paved the streets with gold. That's what the Bible says. That's going to be your home. Amen? That's where you're going. But right now, what do I have? I've got a promise that says God will supply all your need. I got a promise that says God daily loadeth us with benefits, right? We've got promises in the Bible that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that He'll be at work in our life and He'll help us out. So it's okay just to be the average person just trying to make a living, but praying every day, Lord, here's my need. Well, at least you got the Lord to talk to. Amen. Because some folks don't have that. And they're trying to get through life the best way they know how. And the best way anybody knows how is just go get work. But if you can do it with the Lord, you can be rich towards God. You can be rich in Christ. Amen? If you're in that class right there of the brother of low degree, I said it's okay to be average, right? It's okay. That's the majority of society. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't say, well, I can't go to my 40th or 50th year high school class reunion because I'm not on the status with some of those others that I went to school with, right? I had never been to a high school reunion, by the way. And last I saw some pictures of them, and there was a bunch of old people at the one they told me to go to, so I'm glad I didn't go to it anyway. But a lot of people don't want to go there because they don't want to compare. Now, some of them are there because they do want to compare because they've done better in life, right? And then the rest of them don't want to go because that's usually what that's about. By the way, some churches are like that. Not this one. Some churches are like that. Some churches are about business. Some church memberships in some places are about business decisions. Y'all know that, right? You go to where you can rub shoulders with those type of people and all of that. But anyway, it's okay to be average. It's okay to be a brother or sister of low degree. It's okay to be in that majority. He addresses it. All right, let's look at this. Number two, though. Not only is it okay to be average, but number two, never trust in wealth. He describes in verses 10 and 11 about how wealth can fade away. The Bible talks about, look, money can take wings and fly away, right? It can just disappear. It can go in all kind of ways. So in verse 10, he says, but the rich in that he is made low. What? But the rich rejoice in that he is made low. Now, I think the idea is this. If you're rich and you end up down there with the folks in verse 9, rejoice anyway because you still got the Lord. I believe there's the idea right there. Amen. Why would the rich rejoice in being made low? Because if they are made low, if it does happen that their riches fade away, they still have the Lord. They're like Job. And they need to go back and read the book of Job. Amen. Right? So here's the problem, though. Some rich people do tend to trust in their money. Even Jesus said it's hard to reach a wealthy man with the gospel. Why? Because they put their trust in that. It's all trust in the almighty dollar. It's not trust in the almighty God, right? Now, whenever they lose it, some have been known to just take their life. But some have been known to look up and say, God, I didn't need you. I didn't think I needed you, but I think I do now. That's the right move to make, amen? And to get the Lord in your life. But he's describing here how wealth can be fragile. Don't trust in just that. We try to do the right things, but he's talking to saved rich people. But again, some of the rich people that got saved, their businesses were boycotted as a part of their persecution because they had left the system of Judaism. So people didn't want to do business with them anymore. So their new faith in Christ, they suffered for it. So James, being practical in his book, addresses these things. So like Job, if you suffer loss, James is telling you how to handle it. And again, he's still got verse 2 in mind, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Whether you're a brother of low degree, you're just an average person, you're just trying to make a living, hey, be glad you got Jesus. If you were wealthy and you were rich and you had all that going on, but you lost it, you still have Jesus. Rejoice in all the trials and troubles that come into your life. But he's also reminding us that these trials and troubles are temporary, right? And they too, he says what's going to fade away is the rich man. What's going to fade away is the riches. And he uses the nature as an illustration there. But troubles also will fade away. We just need to realize troubles don't last forever. The song the choir sang said something about up there in heaven. When you think about the troubles down here, you just remember it with a smile, right? You're not going to be worried about it up there. Amen, right? Just say, yeah, I went through that. God, but you know what you'll do up in heaven when you think about earthly trials? You'll say, the Lord got me through it. Isn't he good? He got me up here in heaven, but he got me through that one down there. Amen. One old man said that, he told me I could not take my money with me. They said, you cannot take it with you. Enjoy it. He said, so I enjoyed it, I spent it all, and I didn't die, and now I'm just old and broke. Be wise with it, amen, right? Be wise with it, be careful with it, try to hang on to it if you can, amen, right? But don't trust in the dollar. Don't rely upon that. Matter of fact, our money says, trust in God, right? Or in God we trust, isn't that what it says? Our money says, in God we trust. What is that? That's a reminder. Don't put your faith in this. Put your faith in Him. The one that gave you the money is the one that you thank. You know, that's why I say whenever we give our tithes and offerings, I always say, ask the blessing. But, you know, I try to remember to say, let's thank the Lord for what He's given to us. I don't want to be guilty of just saying, Lord, bless everybody's offering and multiply it and make it do great here at the church. I also want to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us so that we can give something in the offering today. Amen, right? And when you give something in the offering, and it might be a sacrifice to do so, but you are worshiping the Lord and you are honoring the one that gave it to you. First rule of stewardship is that it all belongs to God, including you and me. So we thank God for whatever He's given to us. And we don't trust in what He gave us. We trust in the one that gave it. I think that's the idea of in God we trust on our money. Not in our money we trust. It cannot be that. Why? Because you cannot trust in wealth, because wealth will fade away. So if you have it and you lose it, He says rejoice in God anyway, in spite of the divers, different kinds of troubles and trials that you face on this in this world. You know, so young people sometimes they're like, man, especially these days, how do you even get started in life? Have you seen rent prices? Have you seen home prices? Have you seen, the job salaries don't match and all of this kind of stuff? The economy's in a mess. Trust in the one that gives it, not in what He gives, right? Trust in God. It is hard. It is getting harder all the time. We get that. If you don't have it, you're just trying to get by. Hey, that's the majority. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay to be average. If you do have it, and like Job, it's fading away, keep trusting in God anyway, right? That's the idea. Never trust in your wealth, all right? But let me say number three is this. Focus on eternity. So what does he do? He shifts gears from earthly status to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Temptation means testings and trials in this early life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Why? For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now he shifts gears from enduring earthly troubles and trials and temptations to crowns and rewards up there in heaven. Again, reminding us, trying times on this earth are temporary. God's got greater things in store for you for eternity, right? So sometimes we just need to focus on eternity. So he shifts gears there some from earthly to heavenly. Now, what is our focus, by the way? Where is our focus? You say, well, my focus is I got to go to work tomorrow. My focus is I got to pay some bills, you know, and it's the middle of the month and the end of the month and the first of the month. I got bills to pay. Where is our focus? Oftentimes it is on our troubles and trials, and that's easy to do. Who doesn't have problems, right? You know, if I ask that question and you say, I have none, then I'll go sit down and you come up here and tell us how you do that. Amen? I don't know how to tell you not to have problems. You're going to have problems. And most of us, again, are going to be in that brother of low degree, not that wealthy category, perhaps. But we know there's going to be some troubles and trials. So what do we focus on? Well, we get up in the morning, we focus on our aches and pains. We focus on, it's Monday, and I got to go to work. Like the one man I saw at I saw him at a place of business a while back, and they asked him, they said, do you want your next appointment at the same time, 8 o'clock in the morning? He shook his head, and he said, I've been retired quite a while. Can we do that later? You know, this is a little early in the morning for me, you know. But it seems like no matter what age you get, it's still troubles and trials, right? There's problems. Sometimes, though, we need to focus on something else. So James comforts them by taking them from troubles on earth to the truth of hope in heaven. A crown, a generous reward of value, that's a different line of thought, right? He's talking about receiving something of value. He's talking about a crown. He's talking about rewards and riches in heaven that only the saved can get. That's why those in verse 9 are already exalted, because they're going to get a crown, right? They're in line for heavenly rewards. He's talking about something now. He's talking about something eternal, not something temporary that fades away. You know, Paul often talked about, he compared a crown that fades away. He talked about Olympic Games, and Paul, you know, he might have been maybe he liked sports, and he would talk about the Olympic Games, but he would talk about how those people would strive and compete to win a, for them it wasn't even a trophy that would rust away. It was a wreath type crown they would get that just would fade away and die before long. And he talked about, we're striving for a crown that fadeth not away. It's eternal in the heavens, right? You know, any rewards we get on this world, whether it be a monetary reward or whether it be a trophy or a plaque or whatever like that, those things just, they rust and break and fall away, right? They're not lasting. All you have then is memories, right? With all of these kind of things that people are going for. And, you know, some of these Olympians from yesteryear that were so famous and so great, and now you see them in the news today, and they're disgraced, and it's not the young person that you remember watching, because life fades away. Amen. Right. But Paul said this in Romans 8: For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul liked to make a comparison about our earthly sufferings in comparison to our eternal blessings, right? So if you're thinking about life down here and how things just don't last and how things are temporary, not only your trials, but also your money and your possessions and where moth and rust doth corrupt, right? Jesus talked about that. But Paul liked to think about it in terms of heaven. He also said to the Corinthians, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I often say when I get to that verse, Paul did not have light afflictions. Paul had heavy problems. You do too, right? But what was he doing? He was comparing it. All these things that were so heavy, he thought about, when I get to heaven, these light afflictions, these won't be a big deal. These are not going to be a big deal. Our light affliction, and why? He said it is but for a moment. It's temporary. worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's a comparison, right? So I think James was thinking along those same lines there as he shifted from trials and troubles in life, for no matter what status you had on this earthly life, to thinking about rewards in heaven. Again, temptation there means to be tried or tested, and he talked about the trying, same word. So we're talking about here, when he gets to crowns, we're talking about blessings that are promised to those, and he used this word, who endure troubles and trials by faith, right? You're going to have to endure troubles and trials by faith. It's not easy to endure something, right? It's hard to endure something, to get through that thing, that misery or that pain or that problem or that trouble, and whatever kind of pain it might be, whether it be physical or financial pain or an emotional pain. We have to endure through earthly life, troubles and testings and trying times, right? But he's talking about those who do endure it, who do trust God with it. And he says there's a crown of life. This very well may be, I don't have time to get into the crowns, but this very well may be a literal crown of about five that are mentioned in the Bible that we can receive. And you know what we're going to do with them when we receive them? We're going to cast those crowns at Jesus' feet and worship Him with the rewards that we get for whatever we did on this life for the Lord. He said there will be a crown of life for those that endure trying times. And notice he also says, and love Jesus. And love Jesus. Do we love the Lord? You say, I don't know if I want to keep going through. Yeah, they could have said this. I about lost my business for following Jesus. Maybe I ought to just get out of the church and not talk about Jesus anymore, and get my business back. They said, no, I'm not going to do that. He loves me. He's preparing a place for me up there. He died for me. I love Him too much to quit on Him. I think I'll just endure. And the Lord said, those people are going to get a crown of life in heaven. They're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat. The judgment seat of Christ, by the way, is for saved people. The Bema seat, it's called sometimes in the judgment seat. And you know what that is? It's a picture of the Olympians being rewarded with their medals. It's a picture of the judge giving the scores. We're going to stand before the Lord. And it's not going to be about whether you're saved or not. No, only saved people will be there at the judgment seat of Christ. It's about how you serve the Lord. It's about how you loved the Lord, as he says in this verse. It's about how you endured by faith the troubles and trials that he allowed into your life. The Lord's watching that. You say, why are you putting me through this? And the Lord's thinking, well, you're going to get up here one day, we're going to have a good chat about it, and I'm going to give you a reward for it too. And you'll say it's worth it all when you get up there and get it. Amen? Why? Because trying times are temporary. That is eternal. So what is he doing? He's giving us perspective. Focus on heaven, endure earth by faith, and love Jesus. Trying times are temporary. Paul also said this, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it. They do it, Olympians. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They do it to get a famous trophy and get their name in the Hall of Fame. You know all that's temporary too, right? But what you get up there in heaven is eternal. And we need to remember that comparison right there. Our earthly trophies, not going to last. They're going to fall apart. They're going to rust away. Eternal rewards from the Lord. Now here's the thing. Which one are we living for? Which one are we living for? Are we focused on the trying times? Or are we going to endure those by faith with love for Jesus in our heart, with heaven in our sights? Isn't that the way you live the Christian life? That's what he's talking about. James is very practical in his book. There's a lot of people in verse 9, low degree. There's a lot of people in verse 10 that lose things in this earth. Everybody's in verse 2 that has all different kinds of testings and trials and troubles. But if you're saved, you're also in verse 12, and you're going to get rewarded by Jesus for enduring by faith and loving Jesus. So just smile and keep moving. Amen. Just look up to heaven and say, Lord, I'm glad you already you've already been on this earth. I'm just walking in your shoes. And what did Paul often say? He was so honored to take part in what he called the sufferings of Christ. He's like, I'm suffering for faith. I don't deserve it. The reproach of the cross that Jesus suffered, Paul said, I'll gladly take it. Because I know I'll be rewarded in heaven. And if I shunned that, rejected that, and tried to save my life, I'd lose it for eternity. We've sometimes just got to be reminded while we're going through troubles and trials and testings that God has a whole lot more in store for us up there in heaven. Amen? It'll keep us going. The hope of heaven. It'll keep us going. Trying times are temporal. Let's be reminded of that tonight. Amen? And may the Lord help you as you deal with it this week. Would you bow your heads with me, please, this evening?
Dear Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us keep this perspective correct. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on heaven, even though it's so easy to look at our troubles down here. Lord, meet the needs of the congregation now, whatever they might be, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. The music plays. You might want to come tonight, cast your cares on the Lord, ask Him for some more strength and faith to get through this week. Amen. You can look this way. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope James will encourage you tonight as he addressed troubled people that needed to be reminded of the fact that it's temporary and heaven is on the way. Amen. And we need to be reminded of that as well. I hope you can be back Wednesday night as prayer meeting time, and hopefully you can come be with us for that as well, and have a great week. Enjoy.